Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. I am Michelle Morris from Consolidated Planning Group. We are so happy to have you here today. We've got another fantastic topic. And as you know, or maybe this is your first time here, but we really try to bring topics to you that are going to be helpful for your lives. You're going to be able to grab some tips and tricks and some action items, hopefully, from each of the topics we present. And you're always going to be able to learn something. So whether this is your first webinar with us at Consolidated Planning Group or your 30th, whichever, we welcome you. We're so glad that you're going to spend the next hour-ish with us. Today we have Faith Haley, and she's going to be talking about how you can change your child's future by changing their brain. And this is fascinating stuff. You're going to be really surprised, I think, by the information today. So just a couple of housekeeping items. We cannot see you or hear you. So any questions or comments that you have, you can put them into the chat box. If it's something that I can, you know, a question for me, I'll probably just type the answer in the chat. If it's something for Faith, we're going to try to hold a lot of her questions till the end today and get to it towards the end. But feel free to pop them in the chat box or any other comments you have. That would be totally fine. And then we'll get to those at the end. Consolidated Planning Group, you know, we provide these webinars and these topics 2-3 times a week. We always record them. So this will be recorded. And then after everything is done and we get the recording processed, we will email you a link to our YouTube channel where you can find this recording, plus all of our others. And we're also going to send you the slides from today's webinar so that you can go through them again and remember what you saw. You'll have all of the contact information that you need for Faith or for Consolidated Planning Group, and we'll be able to help make sure all of your questions get answered. So Consolidated Planning Group, we are first of all, a financial advising firm. We're a small independent firm located just outside of Houston, and we serve families all across the United States. So if you know somebody in another state or across Texas or anywhere really, you can share our information with them. You can share these webinars with them. We love that. We would love for you to tell your family and friends about us and anybody else who you know that we might be able to help. So we focus on, we've got over 30 years of experience with life insurance, investments, securities, all of that kind of stuff. But recently, in about the past 5 to 10 years, the owner of our company has decided to really start focusing on serving families who have an individual with some kind of intellectual or developmental disability. And the reason that our company does this is because not only is it in our hearts to help, but we live and breathe this every day. Allison has 2 children who have disabilities, so she has gone through all of this personally. The rest of us have family friends, or I used to be a teacher dealing with students with disabilities. We've all got a connection in some way. So we have decided to dedicate ourselves to helping families like yours who have an individual who needs some extra guidance, you need some extra support. And we want you to know these things going into it before you make any mistakes or missteps, so that it can be easier on you. We are members of the Special Needs Planning Academy. We're also nationally certified as Social Security advisors. And finally, I just passed the final test to become a chartered special needs consultant through the American College. So I will have that designation by September 1st is what they told me. It takes some time to process. So you've got a ton of experience and help when you come to Consolidated Planning Group. families have us help them with things like protection plans for your family. You know, what happens if the main breadwinner can no longer work or becomes disabled themselves or passes away early? How do you plan to protect your family? What about the lifetime care of your child? What does that care look like? How much is it going to cost? What resources are available to you to help cover those costs? Transition planning. You know, when your child goes from high school to adulthood or whatever comes after high school, you don't necessarily want them just to graduate to the couch and be playing video games all day. You want them to have a meaningful, fulfilling life and go on and do stuff. What does that look like? And how do we help you find the supports to be able to make that happen? And not only is there the transition from high school to so-called real life, but the financial and legal transitions that happen when your child is no longer a minor, they turn 18, they become an adult in the eyes of the law. A lot does change. We help families understand and use and sign up for ABLE accounts. We help you understand your special needs trust and your SSI and SSDI and all of these different government programs, the waiver programs, all of these different things that are out there to help you. And we are here to not only educate, but to advocate for you. We want to help families like yours because, you know, there are financial advisors everywhere. You can barely throw a rock in, you know, a community here in Texas without hitting a financial advisor. Not that I would ever suggest that. Please don't throw rocks at me. But there are so many financial advisors, but so few who really truly focus on special needs planning. So it's fewer than a tenth of a percent of all the financial advisors in the United States who focus on special needs planning like we do. And so it's really important that you find somebody who understands the nuances so that they can set you and your family up for success. And like I said, we can work all over the United States. So it doesn't matter if there's no one in your area, we can be the expert in your area through the magic of the internet. So when we're talking about special needs planning, a couple of quick tips and tricks and things that we want you to think about, because we know, you know, it keeps you in bed, laying awake at night, thinking about things like, who is going to take care of my child when I can't do it anymore? When I'm older or I become disabled or I pass away, what's going to happen? Well, we want you to start planning now. It doesn't matter if your child is an infant, a toddler, a preteen, a teenager, an adult. It doesn't matter how old your child is. It doesn't matter what planning you've already done, or if you've kind of just let it be for now and you're ready to start this process. Now is the time to get going because you can save money by doing things sooner. You can make smaller incremental changes that will have a larger impact over the rest of your life and your career. And it won't be as rushed and frantic and, you know, hectic if you take more time to do it. Now, if you're already in a place where you're feeling that rush, we can certainly help you. We set up a track of where you need to go, give you a roadmap, and really help you tune out the noise that is out there, and the wrong information and the advice that well-meaning people give you that just might not be correct. We can help you develop a future care plan to get these questions answered. We can talk to you about post-high school options. You know, there are vocational programs, there are residential communities, there are educational programs that are fantastic for your child. We would say that you want to consider touring and looking at these communities and these opportunities soon because they could have waiting periods, they could have wait lists, and we would hate for you to find the right spot and then you can't move in because there's a long wait list. Also, we want you to consider carefully before you just assume that a sibling is going to be able to or willing to step in to take care of your loved one. You know, that can create a sense of obligation for the caregiver. You know, maybe older sister has her own job now. She's got her own family. She's got her own situation, and she doesn't really have the time or ability or resources to take care of another person, but she feels obligated, so she does it. And then she's not happy about it. But also, the child who is being taken care of, your individual with some sort of disability or special need, you know, their sibling has been their sibling all this time. It's been a fun relationship. And now siblings want to be parents, and well, that can create resentment from their end as well. So really think long and hard about how that's going to work before you just let your let a sibling go into the caregiver role. So at this point, Faith is going to go ahead and share her screen. I'm going to put her contact information in the chat box. And she's going to take over and talk to you about this fantastic neuroeducational information. So, Faith, if you would go ahead and get started, I'm going to put your email here in the chat so that people can reach out to you.
Okay.
And thank you again for being here with us today because this is great stuff. I can't
Thank
wait
you.
to hear from you.
Thank you for having me. Hi there. My name
Hey.
is Faith Haley, and my company is A Brilliant Foundation. We're located in lovely Simonton, Texas. It's just west of Houston on FM 1093. My interest in neurodevelopment was first piqued way back in the early 90s. I was looking for help for my son, and I had no idea that I could change his future by changing his brain. He couldn't read, although he was just months from his 14th birthday. He had many other issues as well. For instance, he couldn't string together more than three words when trying to explain something. He couldn't walk through a room without tripping over his own feet. He perseverated on words, which we call the word of the day. He couldn't write either, although I did teach him printing and cursive, which had to have seemed like hieroglyphics to him because he was extremely hyper. He'd been labeled ADHD since he was 3 years old. However, he did excel in math, and he could build just about anything out of wood. He was highly intelligent, but he struggled. And that's what I hear from a lot of parents. He's so smart, but he's struggling. All those years of schooling consisted of me reading everything to him. I read his science, his English, his literature, everything. I thought I'd tried just about every program out there at the time, and we sought out many experts in speech and reading. But the day came when someone suggested that he needed some brain work. What? There wasn't anything wrong with his brain. Boy, was I wrong. Thus began my journey with something that was called neurodevelopment. I had him evaluated by a neurodevelopmentalist. They gave us a program that we worked on daily at home. And although we didn't understand a bit why we were doing all these things, we diligently worked on that program every day. And suddenly we began seeing some changes. First thing that happened was when he appeared at breakfast just 6 weeks after starting the brain exercises. And he was talking in full sentences. What a breakthrough. I remember my husband going, "Oh my gosh, what are we going to do now?" And I looked at him questioningly, and I said, he said, "He talks like a girl. You know, but he was talking." I was so amazed. Then he went on to remember the words that I was teaching him. Suddenly, he started reading words and then sentences, then paragraphs, then pages. Ha, it was so exciting. The perseveration stopped. The clumsiness disappeared. He began writing first words, then sentences and paragraphs. And guess what? All in cursive. I don't know whether we cried more after all these changes or before, but they were definitely tears of happiness. He went from me wondering if he'd ever have a successful future to being a success in life. Changing his brain definitely changed his life, but it for certain changed mine. I was no longer interested in pursuing anything that I had previously. I wanted to know everything there was about the brain, and I'm still learning, of course. But like Mark Twain once said, I've never let my schooling interfere with my education. You can't go to school to learn neurodevelopment, so I trained under ICANN, the International Christian Association of Neurodevelopmentalists. And after spending many years in training and working for another neurodevelopmental company, I started my own in 2008 called A Brilliant Foundation. Now, nothing is more important than the foundation of anything that you're building. The building you're in right now is no better than the foundation that it sits on. The most important part of your home or your company or relationship with others is the foundation. And the most important part of your child's brain is their developmental foundation. Now, I want to tell you a story. I used to live in a house with a bad foundation, and no, that's not a picture of it. That's a really cute house.
That is a really cute house.
But it did sit up on pier and beam, and it leaned to the east. We didn't want to repair it because we wanted to move it to another location, which we eventually did. And we built a new house on that site. But to live in that house was interesting, to say the least. The walls had sheetrock cracks, the doors and the windows, the cabinet doors didn't work the way they should have. And it had a very long list of symptoms because of its poor foundation, which brings me to the topic of your children. Your children may have a poor developmental foundation. This house is just an example of information that a foundation company would give you about your home, explaining the symptoms of your poor foundation. But all the labels that children are receiving these days are simply just a long list of symptoms of a person that has foundation issues. If you can check so many boxes in the ADHD category, then your child will be labeled ADHD. If they have a long list of symptoms in the dyslexia category, then they're dyslexic, and the list goes on and on. The reason they have all those symptoms is because they're not on a good developmental foundation. And just like that house, they have a long list of symptoms. If those symptoms no longer exist, then the label disappears. The day came when we did move that house. We put it on a good, strong foundation. And guess what? No more symptoms. The doors and the windows functioned properly, as did the cabinet doors, and most importantly, the bathroom doors. There were no more sheetrock cracks. What had changed? Only the new foundation. So when I was doing a daily brain program with my son, we were placing a good developmental foundation in his brain, something that he lacked. It hadn't affected his intelligence at all, but it had affected the way that he functioned on a daily basis. I see an abundance of children who are so smart, but they struggle because of their poor developmental foundation. To further explain, let's just take a little quick look at the brain. When we're born, our entire brain is intact, but it is not available to us. Otherwise, we'd pop out and say, "Hi, Mom," and run around excitedly. The availability comes through movement. When we move on our stomachs, we begin the process of placing insulation called myelin sheathing, which is a protective membrane that wraps around part of the nerve cells. Myelin also affects how fast the signals travel through those nerve cells. Now, the pons portion of the brain is the first area that should be developed. Unless a baby is allowed to move, that part of the brain doesn't develop as it should. 7 out of 10 babies have free-flowing blood in their spinal fluid at birth. Now, that's a fact. That information came from studies done on 3 different continents. Under the best of circumstances, getting born can be very tricky. If allowed to move, most of that blood moves right out and it doesn't cause any problems. Brain availability comes through our ability to move. You just have to place babies on their tummy and let them move. But when a baby's not allowed to move, instead they're placed on their backs all the time and swaddled, hung around mom or daddy's back or front all day long, put in carriers, swings, various types of buckets and containers, then it can be a problem. We were created to move and not be like an upside down turtle. When we move, the myelin sheath is placed around the nerve pathways, making availability to the area possible. The pons area of our brain, a part of the brainstem, is developed on the tummy. Now, a baby gets 40% more oxygen when placed on their tummy. You saw this during the COVID crisis when they were turning patients on their stomach to increase oxygen levels. Yeah, I remember that. Today's babies, though, they're left lying on their backs way too much with very little time spent on their tummies. I sadly learned last year that here in Texas, it's illegal for children in daycare to be placed on their tummies. That's very, very sad. They need to be able to move through their developmental steps, and they can't do that in containers or on their backs. But if they're on their tummies the majority of the time, their head will not be flat. It'll have a nice shape. When babies are on their backs too much, the eustachian tubes move back, allowing liquids to flow into the ears, causing ear infections. Then you have to get tubes, and then that's followed by speech therapy. There's a lot more I could say about that, but that's a whole webinar on itself. Another benefit is when a baby or anyone, an adult even, are on their stomach, they're automatically stimulating the vagus nerve. Little tidbit there. 15 minutes of tummy time a day just doesn't cut it. There's just too many benefits. It'll be missed. So what are some of the possible symptoms of an underdeveloped pons, the part of the brain that gives us that sense of, I deserve to be in the world, and the world's a very safe place? It's also the nonverbal part of the brain, so it's very difficult to express the feelings that somebody has in that area. So here's a small list of possible symptoms of an underdeveloped foundation at the pons level. See if anyone comes to mind as you move through this list. Now, they might be very fearful of the dark, the boogeyman under the bed. They have to sleep with the light on, or they want to sleep with their parents. They also can be very clingy. We sometimes call them Velcro children because they have to cling to you all the time. It's a very unhappy place to live. This child's in survival mode 100% of the time, and their brain is saying, I have to control. I have to be manipulative. I have to be hypervigilant. Where am I going? Where are we going? When are we going to be there? Who's coming over? Who's on the phone? Is the ceiling going to fall in on me? Does any of that sound familiar? This child might not have very much empathy for others. They could see someone get seriously hurt and think it's funny. They might be the child that speaks too loudly. They might have a convergent strabismus in one or both eyes. It might be a little cross-eyed. They might have poor eye contact. It's also the level of the brain where eating disorders come in, because if you don't know whether you're hungry or full, eating can become a big trauma. They also might be bedwetter because they can't feel pain enough to wake them up or feel that pressure on their bladder. They might not feel heat, cold, hunger, pain appropriately. They're those children you see walking around in hoodies when it's 100 degrees, or shorts and a t-shirt when it's below freezing. Some kiddos can break a bone, and the parents feel terribly guilty about it because they don't find out for weeks after it's happened. When you're looking at body structure, this level of development helps form the arch in our foot, and that's where flat-footedness can come in. It brings our feet out so that we're not walking pigeon-toed. A strong pons helps to form our cervical curve so we can stand up straight. It also works on the proximal joints, shoulders and hips. Now, kids who need to work at this level love to create chaos. They love to get everybody stirred up, get everybody going, and then they sit back and say, ooh, that's better, because they need that kind of input. This is a level where mutism or elective mutism comes in. Some of the diagnosis at the PONS level also might be any of the attachment disorders, PTSD, anxiety disorders, chronic stress disorders. So those are just a few of the things that can be caused by the lack of development at the PONS level. Of course, no one is going to have all those things. No. They might have a couple of them. They might have three or four of them. They might have a very long list. So, in review, when a baby's on their tummy, developing the pons area of their brain, they get 40% more oxygen. They're developing their horizontal eye tracking. They're strengthening their neck muscles, which is very crucial in development. The hip joints of babies are not fully formed at birth, so they really get their workout when they're tummy crawling and when they start creeping up on their hands and knees. And that results in good formation of their hip joints, but they can't give those hips a good workout when they're on their back. From all the swaddling, doctors are now seeing a multitude of hip dysplasia. Now, after a baby's been on their tummy for at least the first 6 months of life, they should begin the process of developing their midbrain, getting up on hands and knees, not doing a crab crawl or doing a cute little scoot or a hop, but on hands and knees. They creep first backwards and then forward, and that develops and organizes and strengthens the midbrain. Now, I talk a lot about making good brain connections. That's the road system over which all incoming information travels. Our brains are only 3% brain cells, but they are 97% connections. That's where you get your function. So without good, strong connections being made in the brain, you won't get the function that you want. If a child doesn't have the function you want, then you can make good, strong brain connections. How do you do that? Through movement. So let's look at some of the symptoms of a poor developmental foundation in that area of the brain. The midbrain is responsible for balancing, regulating, and filtering everything. So changing plans or gears is very difficult when the midbrain needs work. I like to call it the transmission of the brain, allowing a child to change gears. Oh, look, it's raining today. We can't go swimming. We're going to go do something else. We all should be able to change gears easily. If not, then it's a midbrain issue. We give children the ability to accept change as easily as they breathe. It's also the level of the brain where all their neurochemicals are regulated. So it's easy to be chemically unbalanced. This child might have also a lot of allergies and colds because that's where their immune system is regulated. We oftentimes see allergies disappear completely as a child moves through a brain program. In the midbrain, you get the beginnings of convergence where both eyes are working together. So they might not have good skills in reading. Or reading comprehension or depth perception, attention, and focus. This is also the place where you develop your detail within detail, which most of us experience a problem with it at one time or another. You know, you open your spice cabinet and you can't for the life of you find the vanilla. Then you open it up again and there it is. Same thing happens in the refrigerator. So, however, for some people, it's like that all the time. And for a child, it could look like you tell them to clean up their room, and 20 minutes later, they still are just totally lost. They can't figure out what in the world to do. Every time you've got to explain to them because they can't see it. The pillows go on the bed, dirty clothes go in the dirty clothes basket, books go on the shelf. And it's because a disorganized brain equals a disorganized life. So everything is disorganized around you. I sometimes tell parents, I kind of kid them, hey, I know what your children's bedrooms look like, but you know, all I have to do is go out and look at your car. I can tell how organized your brain is. They always laugh a little nervously, like I'd actually do that. But if your car, your house is very disorganized and messy, your brain's in the same condition. If you change your brain, you can change your life, whether you're an adult or a child. So, moving on, this is where your vertical eye tracking is developed. If they have poor vertical eye tracking, it can be the child that skips lines or has poor reading comprehension. They have trouble carrying math down into various lines of work when the eyes don't work together, or they might be turning out. It also affects their depth perception. It can add into the clumsy picture, not always, but a lot of times it does. Auditorily, this is the level of the brain that's supposed to act like our filter. It's supposed to let us prioritize. You might be listening to somebody talking, but there's other sounds that you're hearing, other things going on, like a clock ticking or the air conditioning coming off and on. Now, if your filtering system's working appropriately, you can say, well, I'm going to listen to Faith right now and put all of the rest of those things in the background. That should be automatic. Then maybe a car goes down the road, somebody's talking in the next room, and suddenly you can't hear a thing I'm saying. If your filtering system is not working appropriately, then everything is just as important as everything else. It's very hard to stay on task. At this level, the midbrain level, instead of most things just being down in the background and on automatic, your child has to put in a real level of extra exertion to be able to hear what you're saying. If their filtering system is not working properly to actually do something, they really have to love what they do, and then they have to hyper-focus. Some parents will say, well, I can concentrate on his Legos for 2 hours. Well, but in those 2 hours while he's concentrating on the Legos, in order to get his attention, you have to go over and shake him, because in order to do what he loves to do, he's blocked everything out so he can focus on what he really wants to do. When we really, really want to do something and we really, really have the motivation to do it, we can focus all of our cortical power on that thing. Okay, let's move on. Poor auditory processing. It's our ability to hang on to auditory information long enough to utilize it. Most people these days forget very easily what they hear. This is also a child that might have sound sensitivity. They might be affected by tags and seams. We see a lot of kids who can't even stand to wear clothes. It affects their sense of light touch. It can be very confusing for parents because a broken bone might not hurt them very much. Remember, that's somebody needing a lot of work in the pons area. But every little scratch or touch can bring out the drama queen, which means they need work in the midbrain. This kid might hate to be cuddled or hugged at all. They don't like to be touched. Another child might be the one running into people, walls, or furniture. They're always turning over their drinks at dinner because they don't know where their hand is. They have no idea where they are in space. That's called proprioception. They might have trouble with personal space and stand just inches away from people. I know my son, that was a big deal to stand right there. They're often in other people's personal space. Other kids, they don't like that. So they're the children that are always poking and prodding and being really obnoxious. Generally, that's not why they're doing it. They're just trying to verify where you are and where they are. They're the kids who have to touch everything. It can also be the child that puts things in their mouth constantly. Okay. Poor short-term memory is another issue. Poor tonal processing. That means how the brain interprets what's heard. If the brain is not interpreting the words correctly, they might hear that someone is a walnut breeder instead of a Walmart greeter. You tell them, don't go down to the lake. They go down to the lake. Somebody said the other day they heard in New York, somebody had a lot of affairs, and their husband said, why does New York have a lot of bears, you know? I asked my youngest son one time, I said, how long are you going to stay up? And he always had this little confused look on his face. And he said, he thought I said, how long are you going to stand up instead of how long are you going to stay up? That's called tonal processing. These children might have poor impulse control. So they're extremely impulsive. They act first, think later. Poor judge of time. They might lack common sense. Letter reversals. Their feet might turn out. Poor pencil grasp. They might have poor articulation and enunciation. Their joints might be way too loose. Muscles, ligaments, tendons, all of those things are controlled at the midbrain. Because what controls everything in your body, what I ask people, what controls everything in your body? It's your brain. I mean, we don't do anything without the brain. So hopefully you have a little bit better picture about the brain and can see that developing these different levels of the brain are extremely important. You've probably recognized a few people in there, maybe your own child, maybe somebody else's child, maybe yourself. And I do want to note again that one child is not going to have all these issues. One child may look like one side of the coin and another child looks like the other. One child might need to work at the pons level, and yet they might be very empathetic while another has no empathy at all. When children are placed on their backs at night and during the day, placed in carriers, things to hold them, keep them safe, they're being kept from completing their developmental steps and the development of those lower levels of the brain. Then they stand up, walk early, ending up with an abundance of sensory issues and most likely get a diagnosis of sensory processing disorder. But thankfully, that's an easy one to correct. So, after developing the pons by belly crawling and then developing the midbrain by creeping up on hands and knees, from there they develop the various levels of the cortex, which house the intellectual part of the brain. They do that by they walk and then they march and they run, they skip. Most everybody stands up and walks, so we don't see a lot of issues at the cortex level. Remember, those kiddos whose lower levels of the brain are not well developed, who have some of those symptoms I talked about, are simply structures with poor developmental foundations. And what do you do about that? That's what I ask parents all the time. I say, you know, it doesn't really matter why these issues are there. It's what are you going to do about it? So you work on a brain program designed especially for them because at any age, we can develop those areas. At my company, we develop a profile telling you exactly what areas need work. We give you a program that develops those areas. It does take time and it takes money, but it is so well worth the investment of both of those. There's just so much more I could share with you, but hopefully that will be enough for today. I just want to leave you with lots and lots of hope, because that's what I got when somebody told me that it was my child's brain that needed the work. By changing your child's future, you can change, by changing their brain, you can change their future. So I really appreciate your listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Faith. I did put your email address in the chat box.
Okay.
Everyone can go to abrilliantfoundation.com to find more information, get on Faith's mailing list. You can even fill out a form where you can ask questions, right? A contact form.
Yes.
Fantastic, fantastic. So while I'm going to pull my screen back up and go over to the rest of my presentation. I do just have one or two questions showing up in the chat box for you, Faith. Do you work with adults?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so not just young children. And is
Right.
there anything that you could give us? I mean, I know that you do this for a living and for money, but are there any small, simple things that parents can take away from this that they can try to start doing? We can't go back in time and put our babies on their stomachs, but maybe a exercise you could recommend or something small that you could recommend that we can start working on without, of course, giving away the whole program.
Well, I give away all the time, but probably the simplest thing to tell people to do is to get down on their stomachs. As an adult, you can get down on your stomach and it'll start making changes at that level of the brain. You can get your kids down and you can all start belly crawling. Years ago, I had a Houston police officer that came to me. He was trying to decide whether to put his son on program. And he always talked like a police officer. He barked everything and said, he said, "Well, I had learning disabilities, but I just outgrew them." And I said, How did you do that? When did that occur?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I flunked out of high school and I almost flunked out of high school and I flunked out of HCC." But he said, "I went over to the Houston Police Academy." And I said, "Oh, you mean where they had you belly crawling and doing cross pattern work and running for miles?" He goes, "Well, I'll be." He said, "I didn't just outgrow it." And talk to Marines who say 85% of the people who go through boot camp are changed. And he said, "We always thought it was the discipline." I said, "No, it's not the discipline. It's the, well, that discipline to
Some
get
of
it
it, maybe.
done." But they belly crawl, they go through this program. And he said, "How come, what about the 15%?" And I said, "They needed another 9 weeks of boot camp. And some of them needed another 9 weeks of boot camp. And some of them needed another 9 weeks." So getting down, belly crawling on a daily basis, creeping, getting on your hands and knees and creeping around, those are the simplest ways to that you can start changing your brain. Anybody that's had a stroke, I get them down on the floor and I get them, if they can move as soon as they can, we get them down, and creeping around on their hands and knees makes all the difference in the world. So I hope that helps somebody.
Fantastic. That's fascinating.
It is.
Now, this is a list of things that Consolidated Planning Group can help you with, things to keep on your radar, and the kinds of webinars that we do. You've had a few minutes to check out this slide while Faith answered that question. So I want to let you know that you can use this link here. And again, when you receive these slides later on today, this will be a clickable link where you can go check out what webinars we have scheduled coming up. You can register for those. And if you register, we do send you, even if you cannot attend, we do send you that link to the video and the slides afterwards, no matter what. So put in your real contact information so that we can get you the info you want. This is our team. Again, we are a small independent financial advising firm. We are located in Sugar Land, just outside of Houston, but we can serve families all across the country. So please feel free to share our information with your friends and loved ones, anybody you know who you think that we might be able to help. Now, for everybody here today, we do offer a free initial consultation. This is over Zoom. They usually take about 30 to 45 minutes, depending on how many questions you have. But our goal in this initial consultation is to first answer your questions. What is that few things that are keeping you up at night? You just don't know how to do, you want more information about X, Y, and Z. We're going to answer those questions for you. We're going to learn a little bit more about you and your family. There's a questionnaire you fill out before the consultation that helps direct the conversation. And then we will tell you how we work, what we charge, what our planning process looks like, and see if we would be a good fit to help your family. So as we wrap up the rest of the questions today, I'm going to leave this slide up so that you can either use the QR code to schedule your own initial consultation. You can call the office, you can email us, and you can even use the links on the bottom of the screen there where it says follow us. That's our YouTube channel, our Instagram page, our podcast, in case you prefer to listen instead of watching these videos, and our Facebook page. So you can use any of these resources to get a hold of us, where we have a lot more help in store for you. Okay, so Faith, do you do primitive reflex integration?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Okay, and do you have any Do you take insurance, or do you use HCS waiver money or any financial programs that can help families afford your services?
We are not considered medical, so insurance does not apply. So people do have to pay out of pocket. So
Okay. And would you do you have a sliding scale? Would you be open to discussing what your rates are, or you prefer that people fill out your contact form first and then you talk to them about their needs?
yes, I prefer that. That they fill out the contact form and then I can talk to them about it.
Okay, great. I see a question. Do you have insurance contacts in economic plans that offer ABA? Lauren, I would suggest that you call our office. We have a lot of resources for people. We work with people who are paycheck to paycheck and they just need some help figuring some stuff out, and we're happy to send out helpful resources and links and things to do. And then we help people who have millions and millions and want information about investing and strategies for saving money for their loved ones, and how do you leave it to a loved one without jeopardizing their other benefits, the state and federal benefits like SSI, Medicaid, Medicare, SSDI, how to set up the ABLE account, the special needs trust, how much money your child even needs, and what that all looks like, including your retirement needs and any other financial questions that you might have. We can help with those. We offer three planning packages. We offer help. We also offer help outside of those three planning packages. So we have a wide range of ways that we can help, ranging from pricing at zero to pricing for a package that starts at $3,750. So again, schedule your free consultation. Even if you're on the side of our financial spectrum where you're living paycheck to paycheck, we are able to send you resources and answer some questions. If you're ranging on the other side of the scale where you're ready for retirement planning and investments and life insurance and things like that, we take care of all of those questions for you as well. So I don't see any further questions here. And Faith, you have done such a great job on all of this information. Thank you for sharing with us. Thank you, everybody, for being with us here today. Again, I'm going to say it one more time. Please don't forget to share Consolidated Planning Group with people who might need our services. We are interested in expanding and we're happy to help all across the United States. So thank you for being here. Thank you, Faith. I hope you all have a fantastic week and that I get to hear from you soon. Oh, I see a raised hand. Diane, if you would just put your question or comment in the chat box, it's way easier for me to get it there than to figure out how to unmute you or whatever. Or you can just call or email our office and we'll make sure to get your question answered. Okay. Faith, are there any games that you might suggest that could help kids with brain concerns?
I always say people should not be using screens. I don't, I'm kind of like Steve Jobs. I just wish that the kids would stay off and not have any screen time. He never let his children have any screen time till they were past the age of 10. And they board games are wonderful to build visual skills. So I always say, since being down on their tummy is very important, lay down on the floor and play board games together. They can develop good areas in the brain. Playing ping pong is very good for the cerebellum. Doing jigsaw puzzles has the same eye movement. It's a back and forth and back and forth. Those are good games also.
Faith, I would assume active games like Twister or, hopscotch or even cornhole, things like that would be really great. And don't forget yoga, because you want to reach across to the other side of your brain with your body to help connect those pathways, right?
Right. It's just that I guess I see so many children that cannot cross the midline. And for them to try to figure out something like hopscotch, they can't do jumping jacks. They have a hard time. So I might have to build up to those, but
Of course.
but any type of movement is going to help. Get them up off the couch, get them moving, walking, anything, just so they're moving.
Fantastic. Again, thank you everybody for spending your time with us today. You'll receive an email from us, probably even a phone call to get you to schedule your free consultation. I promise we don't bite, so don't be rude. Just say no thank you, or even better, schedule your consultation. I hope I see you all soon. Have a great day and a great week. Thanks a lot for being here. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Allison.